Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 250th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is Proper Prep for Persecution. It's Beatitude number 8, taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. So praise the Lord, folks. Today, after a journey of 8 weeks, we've finally reached the final beatitude in this teaching of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. And get ready, because like I warned you, this one's a little different. Because after practicing all of what Jesus preached in the other 7, we all get to be persecuted. That's right. Our reward for practicing righteousness is persecution. So don't say I didn't warn you. Now, most of us who gather here on Blog Talk Radio, we're all looking for the end times. And we see them all around us. And we know to expect the soon return of Jesus. Now, those of you like me who are looking up and preparing for a soon return will face persecution. So why not, as the title of this message says, prep properly for persecution? So today we're going to look at the reasons, the results, and the proper godly response to persecution. From Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, we hear Jesus saying, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now I think we all know that we're living in the long shadows of the last day, and I believe we all know that Jesus is coming back so very soon. Amen? Now, one mark among many of the last days that's being fulfilled right now is the persecution of Christians. Folks, we have brothers and sisters right now that are literally being persecuted physically. I mean, they're being martyred. They're being beaten. They're having their heads cut off. Yet the mainstream media is not even covering this stuff. And sadly, this grieves my heart to see Bible-believing Christians around the world become the targets of hate and contempt in this world today. It really is. Now, if you ridicule other groups, you'll get in trouble today. But sadly, Bible-believing Christians are fair game. It is. So if you want a big target painted on your back, and if you want to receive the wrath of this world, just become a true Bible-believing Christian and do what Jesus says. In fact, the truth is that there's no way to be a genuine Christian and escape this persecution. There isn't. The Bible says in Timothy, second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it right there. Did you hear that? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So all who determine to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. I don't think it gets any clearer than that. So this study is about prepping for persecution. Now, if you hobnob with the world and compromise with it, you can get along with the world, and you won't be persecuted. But the God's truth is that the persecution comes to those who will live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, our focus verse from Matthew chapter 5 speaks of a joy. You know, Jesus actually says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Yet he's talking about persecution. Now, some of you may stop and think about it and say, that's really kind of strange. In fact, that's incredible that God would put joy and persecution in the same passage. In fact, let's think about it in terms of HVAC technology. You know, air conditioning and heating and cooling, you know. If we did it that way and we used that analogy, joy would be like the thermostat and persecution like the thermometer, you know. And what that simply means is that no matter what happens, or in HVAC terms, how hot or cold it gets outside, the joy of the Lord is there to regulate the conditions in our lives. So in this analogy, the temperature in our lives is how hot it's getting out there, or how cold it's getting out there with regard to persecution. So then the joy is the thermostat that keeps us comfortable in the midst of all that persecution. I hope that made sense, you know. In other words, there's nothing that can take the joy from us, you know. Joy controls the conditions just like the thermostat keeps us comfortable inside, regardless of whether it's 0 degrees outside or it's 100 degrees outside. Now, we can all tell whether or not we're in or out for Jesus, so to speak, by the amount of persecution we receive. So if you're not getting any persecution at all in your life right now, don't say you must be doing a wonderful job, because frankly, that's a sign that you're doing a very poor job for the King and his kingdom. Remember, the Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to throw you in a dungeon or tie you up and whip you or cut your head off. And it doesn't mean that some jackbooted thug is going to kick your door down and then machine gun your whole family down with an AK-47. Now, all that may happen, but that doesn't necessarily imply that that's only all that it means, you know. The word persecution literally means to pursue. So they're going to follow after you and me in many ways if we choose to live godly in Christ Jesus. Now, you may become the butt of jokes or even become a social outcast in your community or at your workplace or even in your family. You know, you'll be passed by for promotions and looked down upon as a backward thinker. That's what they call Christians today, backward thinkers. So first of all, like I said in the intro, let's look at the reasons for persecution. Why are Christians persecuted? Well, Jesus tells us, first of all, for righteousness' sake, for his sake. In verse 10, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake. And we learned earlier on in one of these Beatitudes that, you know, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we kind of saw how righteousness is Jesus Christ. So we could say they're blessed are they which are persecuted for his sake, for my sake, Jesus Christ speaking, you know. So the reason we're persecuted is for righteousness' sake, for Jesus' sake. Now, this word righteous comes from the Greek word, which means to divide. So the reason that Christians are persecuted in a real sense is that we're divisive, or we divide. Yes, we're different. To divide means to be different. So Christians are different, and Christians ought to stand out like a diamond in a coal mine, you know, or a beautiful red rose on top of a garbage heap. Plain and simple, we're different than the world, folks. Amen? So are you. Now, in the first seven Beatitudes, Jesus taught how we're to be different than the world. You know, first, we're taught to be pure in spirit. Yet the world says, no, you got to be number one. And then we're told to mourn. Yet in America, who wants to mourn? You know, America's laughing its way right into hell. And after that, Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Now, the world doesn't respect meek people. They say you got to be mighty, you got to be muscled, you got to be moneyed. Or you can even be a missile man, you know, ready to push that button. But whatever you do, don't be a meek man. So this world, it just says that meekness is the same as weakness. And the world's attitude and motto is winner take all. So the point is, if we take these first seven Beatitudes, and I just covered the first three there, and live that way, then this number eight, persecution, it's a guarantee. We will be persecuted. Now, if you're not living by the first seven, you're not going to get to number eight. So this eighth beatitude is guaranteed to those walking with Jesus, because children of God are children of the light. And then there are these other folks in the world known as children of darkness. So we're alive by the Spirit, but they're dead in the trespasses of sin. We live by faith, okay? They walk by sight. We understand them, but they don't understand us or Jesus. You know, after Jesus talked about being persecuted, he said that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, salt irritates when it's poured on a wound, doesn't it? And light reveals. Ever see those cockroaches scatter when you turn on the light? You know, I once did that when I was visiting a shut-in who rented off of a slumlord. You flip the light on in the kitchen to put some food in his pantry. You know, we brought some stuff over to him, and all these cockroaches scattered. It was disgusting. I'm telling you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is an irritant to the putrefying wounds of this world. It is. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is a revealing light to the things of darkness in this world, like those cockroaches that scattered in his kitchen when I turned the light on. So what's the world do? They say, get that salt out of here. Turn out the lights. And so we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. But we must be very careful that it's actually persecution we're receiving and not punishment. You know, many Christians, folks, they confuse persecution and punishment. You know, we're punished by good people when we do evil, and we're persecuted by evil people when we do good. Now, sadly, there's a lot of people who think they're being persecuted when they're simply receiving the punishment they ought to receive. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. For their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Then listen to what Peter wrote in verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody. Wow! Did you notice what Peter wrote there? He puts busybodies right up there with thieves and evildoers. Folks, that's amazing. You know, from verse 16, listen to what he says. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. So a lot of Christians think they're being persecuted when they're not. They're just busybodies. You know, people with bad manners, bad breath, arrogance, and a huge ego. So the first reason that we're persecuted is because of what we are and what we do, and that's righteousness. His righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, we're persecuted for the life we live. From verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So it's all tying back to Jesus here. And then we're also persecuted for the love we love, the Lord we love. Jesus says, for my sake. Now, this world hates Jesus, and they don't understand who he is. This world hates the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who's going to come back and judge with a rod of iron. You know, they don't mind the baby Jesus in the manger every Christmas. And they don't even mind the Jesus who healed the sick and fed the multitudes. So the world doesn't hate that Jesus or those Jesuses. That isn't the Jesus the world hates. So if that's all you know of the Lord Jesus Christ, you actually don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You just know about Jesus from cute little stories and things. And when you stop and think about it, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just one aspect of him. So what the world hates is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. And that's why the world hates the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And what are the works of the devil? Booze, abortion, porn, pride, racism, and greed. Those are just a few. So Jesus stands against those evils that the world stands for. And so when you stand for the Christ of the Bible, not the baby Jesus or the humble Jesus by the shores of Galilee, but rather the Savior, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, you're going to be persecuted. You know, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, if ye are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the world that I sent unto you. The servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So the only reason that the world hates our Lord Jesus Christ is because he's not of the world. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, Paul talks about the fellowship of his suffering. So the truth is, when we receive Jesus Christ, we will suffer like Jesus suffered. Now, how many seeker-sensitive and next-generation churches tell us these truths? Come on, folks. But the Bible truth is, if you want to be a Christian, if you want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and your companion, if you want his fullness, his grace, and be filled with his love, then you must suffer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it can't be any other way, folks. It cannot be any other way. Jesus said, I've chosen you out of the world. And so the reason that a real Christian is persecuted is for righteousness' sake. He's different. And for the Lord's sake, he's devoted. And so as we are persecuted in this life, we live for Jesus Christ, the Lord we love, we're going to be persecuted. I'm telling you, when you begin to live by these Beatitudes, with a burning, blazing, passionate, emotional love for Jesus Christ that backs it all up, that won't let down, won't shut up in this world, the world's going to come down on you like a hammer on a nail, folks. And if you don't believe it, that's because you're not living it. The Bible says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that's the thermometer that's registering how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason for persecution. Now, secondly, let's look at the result of persecution. What's it going to be like? Well, in verse 11, Jesus tells us, he says, blessed are ye when men shall suffer. First, they're going to revile you. And secondly, they're going to persecute you. And thirdly, they're going to say all evil against you falsely for my namesake. So first of all, let's look at what it means to be reviled. Well, that means that you're going to face personal insults. That's what it means to be reviled, folks. You're going to be made the butt of jokes, like I said, and people are going to laugh at you. And they've done this to me ever since I got saved and started talking about the signs of the times and the soon return of Jesus. and all this that's going on in the darkness of this world with the conspiracies. Not conspiracy theory, folks, conspiracy fact. So I've been ridiculed and reviled for Christ. But not only will they revile you, and not only will there be personal insult, but there's going to be physical abuse. The Bible says, and they will persecute you. So like I said, this word persecute, it means to be pursued. And it's more than just being reviled. It actually means they could do some sort of harm to you, not only physical, but they can harm you. So you may be thinking, no, people don't do that today. This is the 21st century. Oh, yes, they do, folks. We have brothers and sisters around this world. In fact, the truth is that more people have died in the last 100 years for Jesus Christ than in all the other centuries put together. We have brothers and sisters around this world right now that are being martyred for Jesus Christ in Asia, in the Middle East, in South America. Yet we're just immune to it. As a matter of fact, there are people right now in this country who are in prison for Jesus. I'm not talking about the former Soviet Union or communist China. I'm talking about right here in good old U.S. of A. Come on, people. These are people that are standing up for the unborn, and they're in prison. So they're being persecuted. Why? Because they stood up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. Or how about the county clerks who have refused to issue marriage license for sodomites? What happened to them? They were persecuted. They were imprisoned for standing for righteousness. Now, there's not only going to be personal insult and physical abuse, but there could be a social stigma associated with this. You know, Jesus said, they will say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Did you ever notice that true Christians, I mean Bible-believing Christians, were never fairly and accurately reported in the news, whether it's the papers or in mainstream media? We're always disparaged. Have you ever noticed that? Plus, we're the comic relief in so many movies and sitcoms. What the establishment tries to do is they try to make us look like these authoritarian bigots, you know, or some cruel monster, like that character Elmer Gantry from Sinclair Lewis's infamous novel, you know. But that's really not what we are. I'm telling you, true Bible-believing, Christ-loving, and living Christians have become the whipping boys and girls of society. It's sad. It's sick, folks. We've become the most widely hated species on earth. We have. And it all comes from the radical liberal media and the porn industry today, and even Hollywood. Plus, have you ever noticed that the mainstream film and TV producers have become overtly anti-Christian? More times of the signs of the times. That's all it is. So far, we've looked at the reasons and the results of persecution. Now, let's wrap this message up, folks, with the proper and godly response to persecution. Yes, and there is a proper and godly response. There's a right way and a wrong way to respond. And if you don't respond rightly, what kind of witness are you given for Jesus? So how ought we respond? Well, first of all, we need to respond like a king. Yes, that's right. You heard me. Respond like a king. Now, you may be wondering, well, why would we do that? Well, listen to what Jesus said in verse 10. Blessed are ye, persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the first thing we ought to do when persecuted is reign like a king. And remember, never, ever, ever come down to their level, because we're children of the king, heirs by adoption, by the spirit of adoption. Remember, we're part of the kingdom, so we need to live like it. We need to walk like it, and we need to talk like it. So never, ever, ever, ever come down to their level. Remember, Jesus said, yours is the kingdom. You're one of the king's kids, so start learning to act like it and live like it, folks. Now, I've learned over the years that there's three levels of life in this world. On the first level, or the prime level, we call it the hellish level. There's this level that returns evil for good. You do something good for a person, they spit in your face, or worse, you know? And that's what Jesus is talking about. We're persecuted for righteousness' sake. And that's right out of the pits of hell, the devil and his minion. So if you're one of the ones who persecutes the righteous and you just happen to stumble upon this message by mistake, may God have mercy on your soul, because you're operating out of the hellish level. You're in league with Satan himself. And these are the sorts of folks on a much more casual level that talk about others behind their backs. And then right above that, in these three tiers of human existence, you've got what I'll just call the human level. You know, they're the ones that return good for good and evil for evil. And this is where most people operate, you know. They're not on the hellish level. They're not. They're the eye for an eye folks, you know, a tooth for a tooth. And they won't talk about you behind your back, but they're content just to talk about nothing more than sports and the weather and current events, you know. That's where they live. And thank God for that. But then there's a level above that, folks, and that's the heavenly level. And this heavenly level returns good for evil. And that's the level we're to get to as true Christians. And by the way, these are the folks that aren't content to merely talk about the weather or the Stanley Cup, you know. They desire to delve into deep ideas, to get beyond the common concepts of Christianity and share the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So when we're persecuted, remember to return good for evil, because that's what Jesus tells us to do. And keep your sights fixed on things above. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to the beginning of 45, Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven." Wow. You know, people say, well, Jesus did away with all the commandments. Why don't you do a little word study on his commandments out of the King James? Here's one of them right there. Love your enemies. That's what I'm saying, folks. We're King's kids, so we need to start acting like our Father in heaven. Don't get even. Love on them, folks. The problem is that when you get even as a child of the King, what you're doing is you're dealing with somebody who's out of the kingdom or below you. And how can you get even with somebody who's below you unless you fall to their level? And we want to avoid that. So when you get even, you have to step down to their level. So don't get even. Return good for evil. Reign in life, and then rejoice in the Lord. In verse 12, Jesus says to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And that literally means to leap and jump and to dance with joy. In other words, we're to be so joyful we can't keep our feet on the ground. Amen? And why? And why is this? Because we're being persecuted. Isn't that kind of like backwards thinking? No, no, no. If you're thinking that doesn't make sense, well, it does make sense when you realize that they're seeing the difference in us and the way we're living. So the life we're living is being noticed. That's the point, and that's why we should be full of joy. Now, sadly, if most people were arrested for being Christians today, you know, most people who claim to be Christians were arrested for being a Christian, there wouldn't be enough evidence to convict them at a trial. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, Luke tells us about the early apostles who were persecuted. And he says this, listen, that after they were put on trial, they departed from the presence of the council. And what were they doing? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his namesake. Now, I love that verse. It's a great verse, folks. So have you ever said, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you that I'm not suffering? A lot of people do that. But you should be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm worthy to suffer shame in your name. How many Christians are doing that? So just remember to reign in life and then rejoice in the Lord as you're being persecuted. It's our Lord's commandment to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, also deny us. But not only should we reign in life and rejoice in the Lord, we should respond in love like Jesus commanded us. So when we're persecuted, simply respond in love. Wow, just imagine what a witness that would be, amen? Now, the truth is that it's much easier to respond in love if you've done the first two things, reign in life and rejoice in the Lord. It really is. These are principles to apply, folks. In the world, it needs love. It doesn't need what it deserves. Now, true agape love, that's godly love, doesn't give people what they deserve. Agape love gives people what they need. Remember, Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Oh, what a witness that would be, wouldn't it be? Now, remember, Paul had a very checkered past, I guess we could say. Before he became the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul. He was the Pharisee's Pharisee, you know, probably next in line for the high priest. And Saul hated Christians, and one in particular named Stephen, and he had letters from the Sanhedrin giving him authority to go out and kill Christians. And so one time when Stephen was standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said to some of the guys around there, hey, if you want to stone him, I'll hold your coats. I've got a letter from the Sanhedrin. I'm authorized. So just picture old Saul standing there with his letter of authority, and his he's like the coat rack for the bad boys that are going to kill him. And then he has this look of glee on his face, like a zealot, as he watches Stephen being stoned. And then there's Stephen over there on the ground bleeding with stones on him, you know, just being just that thud sound when a stone hits you. And he looks up to heaven and begins to pray, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge. Just picture that, you know. Stephen's laying on the ground there being stoned, yet he's praying for old Saul. And I'm telling you, Saul never forgot that. And then later on the road to Damascus, when Saul was slain in the spirit, so to speak, and blinded by the light, Jesus said, Saul, it's hard for you, isn't it, to kick against the pricks or the goads? In other words, it's hard for you to rebel against what's happening in your heart and your life because the love you saw in Stephen, as God just released that agape love in him as he was being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So what did Stephen do? He returned good for evil. And by doing so, gave the greatest Christian witness to the man who became the greatest Christian who ever lived, Saul of Tarsus, better known as St. Paul. This great witness by Stephen led to the saving knowledge that St. Paul needed to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, you may be thinking, but I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who's persecuting me that's going to get saved. I don't know anybody that's going to become a St. Paul. You know, I don't know whether they're going to be better or not if I return good for evil. Well, now that all may be true, folks. Maybe you don't. But I know one thing for sure. You'll be better if you return good for evil. The point is that we're not in this world to please other people. We're in this world to please Jesus. You know, there's this story of a concert violinist one time that finished this incredible concert. One of those virtuosos, I guess they call them. And the response from the crowd was a standing ovation. And the violinist, he bowed his head and he wept and he kept on weeping. And some of the people up on stage come over to him and say, look, they loved you. Why are you weeping? But he just kept on weeping. They said, look, they're standing for you. They love you. And he said to them, they're not all standing. Look at that man down there in the front row. He's not standing. And they said to him, but he's only one man. And the violinist, with his head low and sobbing, he said, I know, but he's my teacher, and he's not pleased. And if he's not pleased, I'm not pleased. So it doesn't matter if you please the whole world, but you don't please your master. And our master is Jesus. But if you please Jesus, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you displease. And that's the Bible truth, folks. So I just plead with y'all to come to Jesus right now. Just come to Jesus. Commit your life to Jesus, folks. Commit your life to Jesus. And it'll be different. And then prepare to receive persecution. But also be ready to receive joy unspeakable and be full of glory. Now, I love y'all, and I'll be back next week, provided the Lord's willing. This is Rich Mullen. Just shall love.
Let your holy one, you won't let On the left.